In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Happy Feast of the Apostles. Today is the 5th of Abib, and it's the commemoration of our fathers, the departure or the martyrdom of our fathers, St. Peter and St. Paul. Typically, this feast doesn't fall on the weekend or a Sunday, so we don't get to take its blessing. For those of us who came early in the morning, there was a prayer of the Liturgy of the Water, the La'en, that we took the blessing. And we saw how the Lord Christ washed his disciples' feet with all humility. Now, last week we began to speak about the laws of sowing and reaping. And we see a beautiful example of how St. Paul understood this. St. Paul and all the apostles, for that matter, understood this law. It says that St. Paul said at the end of the letter for today, he says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So he says, I need to walk what I'm preaching and bear, and so that way I can bear the fruits of my labor. I don't walk as one who is just beating the air, but I walk lest I myself be disqualified. So this law of sowing and reaping, he understood that not only on the people he's preaching, but even on himself. So everyone is subject to this law. And just to kind of recap what we spoke about, the laws we spoke about last week, we said the first law was that we reap only what we sow. We can't like reap, oranges and get grapes, right? Whatever seed we plant, that's what we get. So it either comes from myself or others around me. Also, we spoke about we reap the same kind that we sow. Just as the same manner we saw in Jacob when he deceived his father, the same deception, his children deceived him in the same way. So it works the same way. The same kind. The third was that we reap in a different season than we sow. And we said this sometimes is the most difficult for us because we plant the seed and we don't see the fruit until months later. So the same thing, we plant the seeds maybe in our children and we don't see the fruit for many years later. Oftentimes we think like it's fruitless at some point. Like I don't know when this is going to come out. I remember the same thing with us when we tried to plant a flower. For my son, we planted it in February, and it didn't bloom until June. So the whole time I thought maybe this is a bad seed, maybe it's not good. But no, it's just in the different season. We have to wait, unfortunately, and sometimes we get impatient. The fourth law of sowing and reaping, it's actually a nice one. It's that we reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. The farmer who goes out, he plants the seeds. He plants them like in a row, like this, right? Does he get one piece of fruit for every seed he plants? No, right? Each seed he plants produces a tree or whatever and gives forth many fruit. Imagine if the farmer only got one fruit for every seed that he planted. I think this would be amal fashid. There's no way I can produce enough to feed not only just my family, but to sell and make a living off of. So the person, the farmer who sows, will reap more than what he sows. And this is God's blessing, in disguise that we don't see. The reverse, is also true. Sowing evil generally results in more evil. Sometimes we believe if I say a lie, if I cheat in this way, I can get away with it and it'll make my life easier. But no, the law of sowing and reaping doesn't tell us that. The more evil we sow, the more evil will come of it. We never can get to something good through evil. It doesn't work that way. And as we saw again in the life of Jacob, his mother saw a vision and knew that he would be the chosen one. Had she left things alone, he would have been blessed by God. There would have been maybe another way that he would have taken the blessing. But because she used deception, she and her son Jacob were also, you know, Jacob would also ultimately pay the price and he himself be deceived. Also, if you look at the tongue, St. James says something very, strong about the tongue. He says, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So he says our tongue is small. It can produce a world of iniquity. And he continues and said, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on and is set on fire by hell. So he says, the tongue is like a fire that can kindle the whole forest. So the law of sowing and reaping says, if I speak, you know, harshly to people and curse at them, I will reap this many times over. So I don't know how sometimes we can say, I'm going to say these bad languages and use this foul language and speak to my husband or my wife in a harsh manner, or my children, I'm always going to yell at them and put them down and expect to reap something good. Actually, the evil that we pass on to our children, they will reap that many times over. So we have to be cautious. And it also works on the same token. It also works on the positive as well as the negative. So we reap more than we sow, even in the positive. If you remember the prophet David, right? Even though he sinned and committed, you know, many great sins, but when he was, you know, approached about it, he confessed immediately, and then he was forgiven. And it says after that, that many of the people and kings after him were blessed. God would say, I will preserve you, or I will bless you because of what my servant David. So he made a mistake, yes, and we all make mistakes. But in general, he sowed more good seed than he did bad seeds. And that's why even after his death, his children and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren were receiving the blessing of his obedience and his righteousness. So the same thing works for us. We may not see the blessing of living a godly and holy life and standing up every morning with our children to pray and in the evening and reading the Bible with them. We may not see the blessing of this now, and it may be an inconvenience. But believe me, when your children grow up, this is the normal. And when they go to choose their spouses, they will choose one that they line up with this type of thought, and they will live happy, you know, lives after this. This will give us rest and give us peace. I think all the parents here, what we wish for our children is that that he or she marries somebody that is godly and God-fearing and doesn't give them a hard time. For any of, you know, any grandparents or whatever who have children that have bad marriages, they know the bitterness of this. So if we sow good seeds, believe me, they will not go unfruitful. And you know what? There's a group of people that this is even magnified even more. You know who they are? The servants. The people who serve God, the blessings that they receive are much more multiplied. The Lord Christ, when the disciples asked him and said, we have left our families and our land and everything to come after you. You know what he told them? He says in Mark, he says, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. So he says, not only will the people who serve me receive blessing in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. So the blessing for the servants is doubled, not only here on earth, but eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. So we sow good seeds, we'll reap much more. And this is the beauty of our God. He loves to give. He's looking for any excuse to give us. So any small service, it will be magnified 10 and 100-fold in the kingdom of heaven. So, law number 4 is we reap more than we sow. Law number 5 is we reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. The evil comes to the harvest on its own. So what does this mean? We reap the full harvest, the good harvest, if we persevere in it. Meaning what? I can plant the seeds and water and everything, But then if at times come to harvest, to come pick up all of the fruit, if I don't go out and pick up all of the fruit, then what happens to it? What would happen? It will spoil, right? Either spoil or, you know, the animals will get to it. So the person, it's not just enough to sow the seed and to leave it. But we have, when we have to go out, we have to labor and persevere to pick up the goodness of this fruit. And again, this is what the apostles have done. They labored greatly for their flock. And the parent that, or the parents that labor greatly for their children, maybe I'm coming home from work and I'm exhausted. I work 12-hour and 14-hour day and I'm exhausted. Okay, take a little break, but don't leave your children. Don't just get on the computer, do your thing, check your email, read the news, and kiss them goodnight and tuck them in. No, we have to labor. And when we labor and we have a relationship with our children and they feel free to speak to us, this has its fruits, you know, later. It's very sad when I, you know, hear the kids when they come to confess and they say they want, they're begging for time with their parents. They don't say, tell me directly sometimes, but you can tell by their, you know, the issues that they're having. As they're not giving enough attention from the father or from the mother. We have to be very keen about this. Our children are very sensitive to the time that we spend with them. So not only do we have to persevere to gather the good fruit, but we also will notice that evil will come to the harvest without us doing anything. Any of us who's ever planted any garden or anything knows that we can plant the grass and we can plant the plants, and it takes us hours to do so, and then we find this little green thing popping up next to it that no one ever planted or anything. These are called weeds. I'm sure we all know what weeds are. Weeds are like evil. They come without any effort because we're in a corrupt world. So many people say, okay, Abuna, I'm not setting a bad example for my children. Right, you're not setting a bad example, but you're neither setting a good example. You're not, you know, putting the weed killer out there. You're not, you know, putting out the fires of these crazy thoughts that our children might get from the schools. Do you know, by the way, after the decision that the Supreme Court made a couple of weeks ago, they will begin to change the textbooks to apply this belief or this thought into our children's curriculum. So unless we are very vigilant and awake, what did you study today? Not just say, how was your day? It was good. Our kids will always say, it was good. But what did you, you know, what did you study? Can you show me? Let me see your homework. Unless we're involved in their schoolwork, we won't catch this. And when they grow up, they think all of this is normal. And they go, what do you mean? The church is, you know, bitkharraf. The church is making up stuff. No, we have to be very vigilant, especially in these days to come, and what is taught to our children in the public schools, and even in private for that matter. So evil will come without us doing anything. It will come. But we just have to be vigilant and work hard to minimize the weeds that come into our families. Second, and St. Paul says to Timothy, he says, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of his crop. So the farmer who labors must be the first to partake of the fruit of his own garden. This doesn't mean that he is selfish, but this is just for the sake of survival. So sometimes, what happens is sometimes people will get so caught up and maybe feeding good to other people or sowing good seeds to other people that they themselves forget themselves and their own family. But here, Saint Paul is saying that we have to be the first to partake of our own fruit. Yes, we labor and yes, we do this, but we have to partake, you know, of it as well. And there's a fact, Yani, that I, you know, throw in here as well, that the enemy of good is not going to sit around and watch us. He will start to throw tares, and he will throw so weeds in the garden and in our families if he sees us being diligent and persevering and trying to teach them good. So we have to be very, you know, awake. St. Paul says to the Galatians, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So this is a message. Don't lose heart. When our kids give us a hard time about the rules we have in our house and how you're not fair and how this and this, don't lose heart. Hold fast, you know, to what you, and teach them why you're making the decisions you're making, and stay firm to them. But if I say, okay, these are the rules, and then they nag for a little bit, and I give into it, give them whatever they want, then they realize that the rules are optional, or discipline is optional. And with you, you might be kind and whatever and let things go, but the world is not going to be like that. If you say, I need you here at work at 9 a.m., and you think the rules don't apply to you, and you come at 9:30 and 10, guess what? You'll be fired. The world's not going to be maybe like we are. So we need to teach our children how to, you know, develop this sense of responsibility. And he continues and said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We will stop here today just for the sake of time. We'll finish, God willing, next week. We'll speak about the last law of the harvest, and we'll speak about how to apply them in our life. Just to recap, the first five laws, whereas one is that we reap only what we sow. We reap of the same kind that we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. And the beautiful one is we reap more than we sow. And lastly, we reap the full harvest of good if we persevere, and knowing that the evil one comes on its own accord without any work. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.